Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem. It's official. Donald Trump has slapped a 30% tariff on South African imports. This is a bombshell decision that will be shaking up trade, diplomacy, and geopolitics. According to Trump, it is about protecting American jobs. But is that, in fact, the case? David May joins me this morning. David is a research manager, senior research analyst at the Foundation for Defense of Democracies. Thank you for doing so. I hope that you are well, and thank you for staying up to chat to us.
Thank you for having me, and good morning.
So let's just go through what this is about. It's obviously not just South Africa. There's a list of countries with varying tariffs. South Africa certainly sits at the higher end of the tariff scale. But let's just talk about the context here. What is the official reason that these tariffs have been imposed?
So there is a, there's a trade deficit that the United States has with South Africa. So at least officially that's part of it, trying to create a balance in the trade relationship. But I think even more important than the trade and economic reasons are the fact that the South African government has been going in a direction that is antithetical to the United States. It's been cozying up to China, to Russia, and even Iran. And so as long as the Ramaphosa government continues to go in a direction that is not favorable to the United States, Trump will put pressure to try to correct course.
What does this mean in terms of the AGOA agreement, which is the African Growth and Opportunity Act?
I think South Africa was hoping for a boon that would come with AGOA, and clearly this seems to indicate that the Trump administration is going in a different direction rather than, allowing imports from South Africa to be excused from certain tariffs and trade barriers. The Trump administration is actually imposing a 30% tariff, so making it even more difficult to import goods into the United States.
Mm. So just so that I understand it clearly, if AGOA were to continue, the 30% would sit outside of anything that qualifies. Is that right?
We'll have to see. I'm not sure exactly how AGOA will be negotiated, but this clearly is an indication
that it might not be
not in the direction of AGOA.
In terms of BRICS, is this focus South? Well, you alluded to the fact that it's about South Africa's stance and politics. We'll come back to that in a minute, but the one aspect, of course, is the official, which is protection of U.S. industries and jobs. The second one that I wanted to talk about is BRICS, because we've seen some very, very perhaps concerning rumblings from BRICS. Is this part of a move to weaken it? And if so, how does this play out?
Yeah, I mean, there's different trends in terms of how serious a threat BRICS poses to the Western-led order. That's what BRICS countries would like to do. They would like to, put a dent in the G7, but the leaders of China and Russia not actually attending the BRICS summit, there's been rumors that by expanding beyond its core membership, that BRICS may have diluted its ideological strain. So I guess we'll see, because BRICS would like to broaden out and present itself as an opposing view for how the world should be run, but the more that it dilutes itself from its core ideological membership, the less unified it will be.
Little doubt about that. Right, now let's focus on just shifting to talk about South Africa, because there seems to me little doubt that a lot of this is about the relationship with South Africa, the fact, as you mentioned earlier, that South Africa is moving ideologically, or has moved ideologically in a very, very concerning direction. As a South African, we're very concerned about this too. The fact that the government is meeting with Iran on a constant basis, with Russia, with China, that has been a concern for the United States, as well as the internal domestic issues. What would you say is more the driving force here in terms of these, a motivator for these tariffs?
Well, I think one thing that we can't ignore is that at the BRICS summit, they put out a farcical statement about the attacks on on Iran's nuclear program. They declared them to be a deliberate attacks on civilian infrastructure and peaceful nuclear facilities. I mean, I guess we're talking about BRICS and their view of the world, it falls in line with that because it's just so far out of reality. But calling it a violation of international law, I think it's been actually very helpful and beneficial that we've seen across the board in the international community a lack of condemnation, people understanding that this was actually a major benefit to world peace. But here we have some of the biggest aggressors and human rights violators coming to attack, even though they didn't name the U.S. and Israel in particular, but just calling the attack on Iran's nuclear program, calling that a danger to the world. I think that's part of it. But there's been several, on several fronts, South Africa has been showing itself to be on the opposite end from the United States, and that includes Iran, China, Russia, but it also includes the prominent role that it's taken at the International Court of Justice trying to wage lawfare against Israel.
So it's all of these things that obviously are impacting the President Ramaphosa's trip to the White House clearly didn't help.
Yeah, I mean, I think the President Ramaphosa saw that he wasn't going to have any chance of success, and so he played more to a domestic audience within South Africa rather than trying to mend ties with the United States. Personally, I would have rather have seen President Trump bring up a lot of the other issues regarding South Africa, including corruption. I mean, we just saw today pretty bombshell report about the police minister having alleged ties with gangsters and corruption throughout the country. There are a lot of serious issues that should have been brought up. But either way, the meeting at the White House did not go well, at least in terms of trying to mend ties with the United States.
What does this mean moving forward, do you think? Because one of the dangers of this type of an approach is that it can lead to the, all right, well, to, you know, we'll continue moving very strongly in the other direction, move closer to China and Russia because we can't win with the United States. And that's obviously a selfish concern for South Africans across the board, not just Jewish South Africans across the board. But there is that risk, isn't there?
Sure, that there is that risk, and countries that would rather go against the United States and go on the side of Russia and China will, I guess they'll make their bed. But in terms of what benefits the Russia and China, or China in particular, have to bring in terms of development and the horror stories that we've seen from different countries getting indebted to China and having significant parts of their country taken over by Chinese debt. So, it's the idea that the South Africa can just go away from the United States and find a receptive benefactor in among the BRICS leading countries. That might be a little optimistic.
We've seen Trump's strategy before, where he's either slapped these large tariffs or he's made these significant statements only to pull them back or to have each negotiated. Is this somehow feels a little different? It doesn't feel like this is a negotiation tactic. I have no doubt that some negotiation is possible, but is it possible that this is simply another negotiation in order to come to a different compromise?
I don't think that anyone can really understand exactly what President Trump is thinking and how he's doing it. And that's, I think, part of his plan is that no one really knows. And he presents himself as a, you know, as an anomaly. With a lot of the other tariff negotiations, threats, and impositions, it has been part of a negotiating process, you know, a kind of brinksmanship that President Trump has been waging. So to me, it seems like this is part of that. But in general, it's not brinksmanship among friendly nations. There's an adversarial tone to this.
Mm. David May, that's where we're going to leave it. Thank you for bringing us that perspective. David is a research manager, senior research analyst at the Foundation for Defense of Democracies in Washington. Thank you for staying up and chatting to us. It is 6:45. I'm Howard Feldman. I'd love your comments and thoughts. Mark says that Ramaphosa goes out of his way to destroy South Africa. The punitive tariffs, a perfect example. Ramaphosa is so pathetic, this is according to Mark, and corrupt that it beggars belief. Unfortunately, the good SA citizens will suffer tremendously while the ANC continues to raid the coffers of the state.